I did feel the Lord gave me a topic. And then last week, after the initial shock, I asked for confirmation that this is what he would want me to talk about. And I felt that during the service, first when Mel had given an exhortation during worship, she mentioned that we need to stand firm in our godly convictions. And that kind of was a confirmation of what I was going to be speaking on. And then when Pastor, in his message, he made two statements that gave me confirmation. He said, first, he said, don't let the culture, our culture, squeeze you. And the second thing he said was that our culture today waters down our desire for heavenly things. And it really kind of spoke to some of the things that I was going to talk about this morning. And one of the verses he gave, it was in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and which says, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the world, and it becomes unfruitful. So our desires and our you know, we look around and we see all the things others have, and we let them choke what the Lord really wants for us. If I had to put a title on this morning's message, my title would be Sin Equals Sin, and the equal is the equal sign. Sin equals sin. And if you have your Bibles, if you can go to Romans, the first chapter, Romans 1, beginning at verse 18. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, a lot of things have changed. I've been a Christian now 30 years. I first accepted the Lord in 1987. And things have changed quite a bit since then. You know, back then, the stores were closed on Sundays. They didn't have sporting events, you know, except for the NFL or whatever. But they, you know, your family sporting things all took place during the week and on Saturday. And Sundays were more or less left for families. And that's not the case anymore. So let's go to the verse. Beginning in verse 18, and I'm using the reading from the NASB, New American Standard, and I actually have a title that says Unbelief and Its Consequences. Beginning in verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood, though what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So even though people can say, you know, they weren't preached at, they weren't talked to, you know, given the gospel, it's within them. God put it within each and every one of us of what his desire for them would be. And in verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man, of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. In verse 24, therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to the degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for what is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. One of the things that I'm going to stop there for a minute. One of the things that I want to talk about being squeezed and seeing over the past 30 years, and this kind of is a taboo subject, but it's in the gay and homosexual community. Over this past 30 years, you've seen such a switch to acceptance to that lifestyle, to that thing. Yet, if you look in Scripture, over the entire Scripture, and going back to Sodom and Gomorrah, this sin is not something new. Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot accepted those two angels, and what did the townspeople wanted to have them out and have sex with them, have men have sex with men, and that was a sin. Now spin, go ahead, and I even had to ask the Lord, or ask Bob actually, for the time frame, but the difference between then and when Paul wrote this to the Romans was a period of 3,000 years. Yet, God's view on it hadn't changed. He didn't change his view on homosexuality. Here he's talking about, that men shouldn't burn for, it's a sin for men to burn with the desires for other men, women the same thing. Yet, and now go 2,000 years later, and it's the same. I don't think God has changed his mind or his view in the subject. Now we're talking, 5,000 years. Yet, I think because we allow the culture to squeeze us as Christians, it becomes more accepting because we allow it to creep into our convictions as Christians. Let's go continue on in Romans. I think it was, where did I end off? On verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, I mentioned the homosexual sin, but if you read past that now and look at all these he just listed, this is where I'm saying sin equals sin. These sins here are no worse than homosexuality. Yet, because of the world kind of making more of the homosexual sin, it kind of puts the others down below. But God hates these things just as much as he hates the homosexual sin. The murder, the strife, the deceit, the grumbling, the complaining. These sins are just, when God gave us the Ten Commandments, when he lists these sins here, he may have given them in an order, but none is less important than the other. And we tend to put, because of the publicity of the sin of homosexuality, sin of these things, we tend to put that at a higher scale and think it's a worse sin than some of the other things, but it's not. God sees each sin that we do as equal. He doesn't have a scale. So that's where I got that title, Sin Equals Sin. When we look at that, if you're a grumbler, if you're a complainer, if you're a liar, you're just as bad as the homosexual. And God sees you no different. But he loves us all the same. God, that same saying that God loves the sinner, hates the sin. The The Romans, and then verse 24, where he said he turned them over to their desires. So when they come into our, so when these people come into our churches, when the homosexual comes into our churches, I think we're failing, or in the other sins as well. When they come into our church, I think we're failing them. In that, yes, I went by a church billboard the other day, and it said, "Love everyone, let God figure it out later." Just love everyone, let God figure it out later. And I'm agreeable to the sense that we need to love everyone and bring them in, but I don't think God wants us to just love. Because we need to show them that they're in sin. You know, if you look back at Matthew, or look back when the Samaritan woman was caught in the act of adultery, and God, and when he melt, and Jesus melt down, and he waited and waited and waited, and he said, "Where are those that convict you?" And he said, "They're gone. There's no one left." He says, "Neither do I convict you." But he didn't stop there, did he? What did he finish saying? He said, "Go and sin no more." So when we bring these people in, yes, we're not going to condemn them. We're going to bring them in. We're going to love them. But we're not going to, I don't think the Lord wants us to be just love. We need to show them that they're in sin and that there is a better way, that the Lord can change their lives, that each and every one of them doesn't have to stay in the sin that they're in. And yes, we're going to accept them, but we're hopeful that through the teaching and through God working in their lives, that the sin isn't going to remain, that they're not going to be continuing in that sin.
That's true.
And I think let's go to chapter 2 now of Romans. Chapter 2 of Romans. And we're going to start off right at verse 1. He said, "The impartiality of God. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things, and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation." This scripture right here is just telling us that we need to love, and it's also saying that we can't condemn those that are in this sin. Because all, as Romans says, all have sinned, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have no right to condemn, because our sin, none of us can say we don't sin or we haven't sinned. So we have no right to condemn, because as God says, that's being ignorant. So that's all I have this morning. I feel that this is a message we needed to hear, that it's a message that the Lord put on my heart, that it was just a few points, but it was something that I think, as we look around in our community, the rallies that go on for, against homosexuality and against these other things, we shouldn't be partaking in, because we are no better off than them. And we have to realize that, and we have to, you know, pray for them and pray. You know, we talked about you coming. You know, Mel had prayed about the future and people coming into our church. We need to love them, and we need to give them the message that God gives, you know, Pastor and gives us. And as we go forth in this building project, we're going to get people that are from all walks of life, from all, have all types of background, and we are no better off than them from the moment they walk through that door. We have to show love, but we also have to, we can't let them stay in sin, so we have to show them through, not through a condemning way, because as we've just read that God will condemn us because we have all sinned and we're all in sin. But we need to show love and also need to show them a better way and how God can lead them. Let's stand and pray this morning. I hope you hear my heart this morning. And I pray that as you go through and go through, and you know, I was, I think, talking about people from work and, you know, things that go on in work. Look at their situations. Ask God to show you what they're going through before you pass judgment. Father, we just thank you this morning. I believe this is a word that you gave for me to share with your people this morning. And Father, I hope that I've done justice, Lord. I hope that the seed has been planted and that you will take it, Lord, from here and help it to grow and mature into what you would have it to be. Go with those this morning that could, please bless those that couldn't be here this morning. May you just guide them and lead them. And Lord, be with each and every one of us. Lord, it's a beautiful day. Let those go out and enjoy the hot summer weather, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.